Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. As always, you can go online to learn more about their services and how they can help you out. Even schedule an appointment online at OrthoSensi.com. That's OrthoSensi.com. They do accept walk-ins as well, so just note that when you go to the Lawrenceburg office to get yourself checked out. And I can go back to the summer of 2023. I had the toe incident where I sprained my big toe on my left foot. OrthoSensi took really great care of me and got me back moving the way I want to be moving. So there you go, a little testimonial from Double T. But we got plenty to get to on the show this evening. Some reaction from things that happened over the weekend. I do want to touch on pro football really quickly because the big game is coming up 2 weeks from yesterday. So I just wanted to hit on that quickly, and then we'll get into all of our local sports topics. Nick Gepper is going to be one of them. We're going to hit on his participation in the X Games from over the weekend. We're going to talk a little boys high school basketball from over the weekend, and then we will get into a wrestling sectional and recapping all the happenings from South Dearborn and Jennings County, where our local teams competed over the weekend. And we're also going to get you set for the girls basketball sectional starting this week, previewing some of the games that are going to be coming your way. So without further ado, let's jump into the show. Super Bowl 58 is set. It is the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know that anybody's too shocked to see these two teams in the championship game. San Francisco's really been the best team in the NFC all season long. Kansas City, while they're in what I would actually consider a little bit of a down year, it's not like they were super dominant in the AFC. This was the first year in the six-year run that they've been to the AFC championship game every year over those past 6 years that they didn't host the game because Baltimore was the number one seed in the AFC. But man, Baltimore sure looked abysmal at home yesterday. I know they had some calls not go their way, but they couldn't really muster anything offensively. And it kind of makes you think, is Lamar Jackson really the MVP of the league? It's a regular season award, so he's going to win it. Didn't really play like an MVP yesterday. I watched the NFC Championship game, and I'm thinking maybe Christian McCaffrey should be getting that award. But anyways, Ravens looked really bad. People were calling it a legacy game for Lamar Jackson. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Patrick Mahomes certainly further cemented his legacy as an all-time great. And I will say, don't poke the bear. There was that pregame instance where Justin Tucker was set up close to the goal line where Patrick Mahomes and some of the other Chiefs were warming up, and there was some pushback there. If you believe in that stuff, you don't fire up somebody that's already got incredible talent. I don't know if maybe that was the X factor in the game or not, but it's just that old adage, don't poke the bear. I know exactly what Detroit fans are feeling today after blowing that 17-point lead against the 49ers. Detroit, their team and fans, much like Cincinnati Bengals franchise and fans, where neither franchise has ever won the Super Bowl. The Bengals have at least been there a few times. The Lions have not, but after seeing them win a couple home playoff games and the city was energized and pumped up and thinking that they might go to the big game this year, they certainly had their chance and let it slip away yesterday. So I know that's a gut punch for the Lions and their fans. And I would like to think they're going to be back in a similar position in the near future, but Dan Campbell even said himself, and I'm paraphrasing here, but that may have been the only shot that they get. I don't know that we'll actually see the Lions back in a conference championship game over the next couple of years. It'll be interesting to see how things shake out for them. But going into that big game, I am most certainly not going to bet against Patrick Mahomes. I think he's made a lot of people look stupid in that capacity since he started with Kansas City, 5-6 years ago, I guess 6 years ago, as they've appeared in the AFC Championship game every year that he's been a starting quarterback. So a pretty impressive run, despite not really being a big fan of that team because of their rivalry with the Bengals, if you want to call it that, from not this season, but well, I guess, you know, Joe didn't play this year, so I'm not counting it so much. But the last two seasons has certainly felt like a rivalry. All right, let's get off that topic. We'll talk about Nick Gepper here as he competed at the X Games yesterday evening, actually, in a new discipline for Nick, as he kind of talked about throughout this last year, deciding to move away from slopestyle and go after a new dream, and that is the ski superpipe. And Nick did pretty good for himself. His first competition in the superpipe, as they call it now at the X Games, and held his own with some guys that have maybe been doing it a longer time than he has, finishing fourth in that competition. His run score, 77.66, 87.33, and 91.33. He was just shy of the podium. Hunter Hess, who took bronze, had a score of 92 flat. So Nick was just off of that run to score a bronze medal in his first competition in that particular discipline. So he's right there. You give him a little bit more time to develop his skills in the super pipe, and maybe we're going to be seeing him at the Olympics again tasting a medal, whether it be bronze, silver, or gold. So we'll keep up with Nick from now until we get to the Olympics and see if he can get himself on the podium. I would not doubt him in the slightest. So congratulations to Nick on a good showing at the X Games. All right, now I want to hit on some boys basketball from over the weekend. No notable girls basketball games in the area. All of our area teams had finished their regular season and started their preparations for sectional play, which will start up tomorrow. We will get to that later on in the show. But right now, just kind of looking at things from over the weekend in high school hoops. We had a doozy of a game on Friday night. Very interesting finish, to say the least. Greensburg defeats Lawrenceburg 46-42 in double overtime. This was a game that Lawrenceburg was, I don't know if I want to say dominating, but they were certainly in control of this game for three and a half quarters, and then the wheels just started to come off for this Lawrenceburg team. They did have an 11-point lead heading into the fourth quarter. They had held Greensburg to 16 points up until that point. And the game plan was just being executed perfectly, particularly on the defensive end. Greensburg didn't really have much answers for what Lawrenceburg was doing on that defensive end. But things started to take a turn in the fourth quarter, and I'm going to preface everything I'm going to say about this game saying that Lawrenceburg certainly had their chances to win the game on Friday night. But as we mentioned, that just didn't happen. Now, in the fourth quarter, Greensburg ends up outscoring the Tigers 18-7. I thought there was a couple possessions from Lawrenceburg where they took some quick shots, didn't connect on their free throws down the stretch. They were 8-16 for the game, 5-11 in the second half and in the overtime periods, 4-24 from three. So maybe on some of those possessions where they went a little bit quicker, they could have moved the ball around, tried to get something going towards the rim or inside. I understand Greensburg's defense was maybe dictating some quick shots there as they were running and jumping and trying to get Lawrenceburg to play faster. So I understand that's a part of the game. Just would have maybe liked to see some guys, instead of taking the open shot, think a little bit better about it. And again, just move that ball around a little bit more to move the clock, because the clock was the friend of the Tigers there for a while until Greensburg kept creeping back into the game. But they got some of those extra possessions off of the quick shots, forced some turnovers, so forth and so on. But and kudos to Greensburg, because they got more efficient as the night went on. They were 3 of 13 in the first half, 9 of 19 in the second half. So they were even more efficient in the fourth quarter. Those things certainly matter. Those were big instances in the game, key stats that go to show you why Greensburg won the game. There's also going to be folks from Lawrenceburg, whether they're on the sidelines or in the stands, that weren't very happy with some of the officiating down the stretch, just calling it as I saw it as a color commentator on Friday. I was in a different role, not doing play-by-play, so I was elaborating a little bit more on the officiating towards the end than I would if I was in a play-by-play situation. But when you're in a basketball game and you're up in the fourth quarter and the other team starts coming back and you're on their home floor, every call the officials make can become more polarizing, especially from that Lawrenceburg side, looking at it from their perspective in this game. And it sounds like complaining or pointing fingers or blaming something else for the loss occurring. Multiple things can be true at the same time. Lawrenceburg had their chances to win the game. If they hit a couple more free throws, if they make a three, if they take some more time off the clock, maybe they walk out of there as winners. That stuff didn't happen. But then when you get into late moments of the fourth quarter or the overtimes, and you have some interesting calls, to say the least, those things can stick in your mind, and it's understandable because everyone's human, and that's just the way we look at things sometimes. But some of you may have seen the video from the tip-off of the second overtime that resulted in a foul immediately from Charlie Meyer, and then he was given a technical foul. And if you've seen it, great. If you haven't, that's fine too. You can form your own opinion on it. It looked questionable from what I saw with my eyes, and I was there in the gym as well. And it was just funky with the tip-offs in the overtime. When they did it for the first overtime, they had to go through it two times, and the ball was not even thrown up properly. It looked very awkward. And then you got the foul and the technical in the second overtime, and I'm not sure where the technical came from. Charlie Meyer reacted by squatting down and putting his hands on his head, but I don't think he said anything or showed anybody up to my knowledge. So it was a little awkward, and again, it's just one of those instances where people can get upset about that kind of stuff. But in the end, Greensburg does deserve a lot of credit for making the comeback in the game. And I know it's a sour way to lose for Lawrenceburg, whether calls went against them or not. Greensburg made some shots down the stretch. Whatever it is, it was a gut punch for Lawrenceburg to walk out of there not winning the game. But it's not the first time it's happened to a Lawrenceburg team or another area team out at Greensburg. It's a very, very tough place to play and win. And that's just speaking matter-of-factly. I think anybody that follows high school basketball in this area has probably been to a game out there, played in a game out there, whatever it might be. It's just a very, very tough place to go and win a basketball game, and I am going to leave it at that. But it does make for interesting conversation if these two teams do meet again in sectional play at the end of February and or early March back in that same building. I'm sure Lawrenceburg has certainly got those dates circled on their calendar. One, because everybody has a goal of winning a sectional championship, but two, that might be a game they would like to, I don't want to use the word revenge, but maybe avenge, go up there and get a win in a more meaningful ball game down the road. But that was certainly a meaningful ball game in its own right. Greensburg now at the top of the EIAC, 4-1 on the season. Connersville at 3-1. Batesville and East Central both 2-1. And South Dearborn and Lawrenceburg still very much in the running in the EIAC with two losses each. Two might be the max losses that you can have to get a share of the EIAC. But with how much parity there's been in the conference this year, I'm not so sure anybody's going to walk away with this with one win. Still plenty of conference games to go. So, it doesn't necessarily take Lawrenceburg out of it, but they're going to need some help, just like South Dearborn will, because there's four teams there at the top of the conference. South Dearborn did get a 43-30 win at Rushville to keep their name in the conversation in the EIAC. They did get freshman Scout Gray back, just 2 points in this game. Xander Schwab still out, so they're trying to get fully healthy ahead of sectional play. But I got to give some kudos to senior Peyton Hill. 19 points to lead all scorers in this game. Hudson Shackelford with 10. Peyton Hill is what I would call, or what people would call, a program guy. He's really bided his time and had to have some patience waiting to get his opportunity at the varsity level. And from what I've seen from him this year, he is a very, very capable player at the varsity level. He's been shooting the three really well as of late, can handle the ball. They got a good backcourt there at South Dearborn, and hopefully Peyton could keep up the scoring prowess. I think once you add another scorer with Brody Tiki and Hudson Shackelford, somebody that can get you around 10 points on any given night, that's going to help South Dearborn's cause moving forward, just having some of those additional guys that can put the ball in the basket. So a really big fan of Peyton. I've been watching him at the JV level the last couple of years, and really cool to see him get his opportunity at the varsity level and doing some big things here as of late. Some big games in the EIAC coming up this week on Thursday. It'll be a jam-packed night. Batesville at South Dearborn, Greensburg at Rushville, Lawrenceburg at East Central. So you got those two teams with two losses in South Dearborn and Batesville, or excuse me, South Dearborn and Lawrenceburg, that could climb a little bit closer to the top and bring some teams down should they be able to beat Batesville and East Central respectively. South Dearborn's got a home game. Lawrenceburg's got to go to St. Leon. So those will be two very interesting games. Greensburg should be a heavy favorite at Rushville, so I wouldn't look for them to drop a spot in the conference this week, but South Dearborn and Lawrenceburg could certainly play a role in making the gap a little less wide on Thursday. So There you go. Got some more scores for you from over the weekend. Shaw beats Rising Sun 59-53. Southwestern, one of the top teams in 2A, 77-26 win over Milan. East Central, 43-41 winner over Columbus East. Jacksonville knocked off Oldenburg 56-49. Batesville, 21-point win over North Decatur. And Franklin County was a big winner over Victory College Prep on Friday. Saturday's action, Aiken out of Ohio. They clip East Central 64-61. Talawanda got Franklin County 38-32. Oldenburg, 3-point winner over Knightstown. Rising Sun bounced back with a 50-42 win over Crothersville. Cam Craig, 39 points and a 10-point win over Milan. Batesville knocks off Hauser 54-50. Lawrenceburg bounces back with a 48-37 win over a good South Ripley team behind 12 points from Ben Cornett, and Trinity Lutheran with a 55-43 win over Jacksonville. So we're going to step aside for a break. When we come back, we'll preview some girls basketball sectional games, and we'll also be talking about the IHSAA wrestling sectional from over the weekend. You're listening to Crunch Time on Eagle Country 99.3. Welcome back to Crunch Time on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3 and at EagleCountryOnline.com. We also appreciate you listening on our free Eagle Country 99.3 app, and those are all the places you'll be able to catch the girls' sectional basketball games this week, as we will be out covering the Lawrenceburg sectional in Class 3A. Sectional 29 gets tipped off tomorrow night with South Dearborn taking on Batesville, and we're going to jump right into this. South Dearborn 3-19 regular season, taking on Batesville 14-9. So certainly going to be an uphill battle for South Dearborn. They did lose by 22 points in the regular season, 60-38. That was back on January 12th, so just a handful of weeks ago that these two teams met. Sophie Giselle, 19 points on 6-9 shooting to lead all scorers that game. Kaylin Kathman, a good freshman player for Batesville, 13 points. For South Dearborn, it was their usual three: Natalie Cantrell, Bernadette Wisman, and Gracie Messmore. 10 for Cantrell, 9 each for Wisman and Messmore. They will need more of that coming up tomorrow night, but they are also going to need some of those other role players to contribute scoring the basketball. But I look at the statistics in this first matchup. South Dearborn outshot Batesville from the field in terms of percentage, 45-44, or at least they were dead even. Where the difference in the game was on the backboards, as Batesville beat up South Dearborn, rebounding 28-11. So you can do the math there and see how many extra possessions that the Lady Bulldogs got based on their rebounding, whether it was limiting South Dearborn to a one shot and done on the offensive end, or crashing the offensive boards and getting the extra possessions that way. Turnover wise, 26 for South Dearborn, 20 for Batesville. So I think South Dearborn did a good job of turning Batesville over, but conversely gave the ball up too much. So really kind of canceled out there. And that's what we've always tended to come back to with this current South Dearborn team, is that if they could just take care of the basketball a little bit better, they would keep themselves in games longer. So turnovers always big in any basketball game. It gets elevated even more once you get into the tournament. So that number is going to have to come way down on Tuesday. And obviously, rebounding is going to be something that this team's going to have to do better to compete with Batesville, who is hoping that they can make a little run to the sectional championship this week. Taking a look at our game two of the week will be the host Lawrenceburg Lady Tigers at 13-10, taking on Rushville 7-17. That'll be Wednesday night, 7:30, approximate tip-off here on your hometown radio station. I guess I should say South Dearborn and Batesville will tip at 7 o'clock tomorrow. Lawrenceburg won the regular season meeting 40-27. That was back in December, mid-December. Tigers are 7-4 since. Rushville's 2-11 and have lost six straight heading into postseason play. For Lawrenceburg, health and availability is going to be a big key for them on Thursday. Brooklyn Craig, their leading scorer, has been out here recently. Cameron Ferreira's missed some games. So if one or two of them can't go, that drastically changes the outlook of what Lawrenceburg's expected to do this week. But when you have Craig and Ferreira, coupled with Aubrey Labazo and Natalie Caniga, those are the four players that really make things go for the Tigers. They're going to be on the floor a majority of the time. Three of those young ladies were in double figures the first time they played Rushville. Defensively, they held the Lady Lions to 21% from the field, and that was kind of the whole thing in this game, was the Tigers were just able to make more baskets offensively and contest more shots. On the defensive end, everything else was pretty even in terms of turnovers, rebounding. There wasn't like a one key stat where it was just like really bad for Rushville or really good for Lawrenceburg. But I think in the end, Rushville graduating such a great senior class that helped lead them to three straight sectional championships. They got a younger team this year, a little bit more inexperienced team. Lawrenceburg's got those four players that I mentioned that are very experienced, and they certainly get contributions elsewhere. The scoring usually comes from those four, and if it comes from anybody else, that's just kind of icing on the cake. But the Tigers are going to need that experienced group to lead them through this sectional. It's going to be easier said than done because I don't think Rushville is necessarily an easy out in the first round, and then you're going to be looking at Franklin County or Greensburg in the semifinals on Friday, perhaps. Greensburg, a heavy favorite to win the sectional. Their Sagarin rating's been right around the top 25, regardless of class, all season long. So they are the favorite until they're not. Even if Franklin County knocks them off, they have a very good team. Nicole Mears might be the best player in the sectional, averaging close to 20 points per game. So it's going to be a difficult sectional any way you slice it. But those are the two games we got for you coming up on Tuesday and Wednesday. Wanted to hit on some other area teams as well. East Central 7-6. Taking on Whiteland. They're 10-12. Class 4A sectional. Both teams 0-3 versus common opponents. East Central on a three-game losing streak. They have played close games lately. Five-point loss at Connersville, who's got the bye in the Lawrenceburg sectional at the top of the bracket. A pretty decent chance of making it to the finals, I would say. Obviously, they only have to win one game. But anyways, good team there. Nine-point loss versus Shelbyville. Four-point loss versus Lawrenceburg. If you ask me, East Central wants this to be a low-scoring game. They're only giving up 38.2 points per game. That's got them just outside the top 50 in the state. Problem is, they're barely averaging over 30 points per game on the offensive side. For Whiteland, their defensive average might be inflated due to some of the games they played against some really good teams, but they give up over 51 points per game. So maybe an opportunity for East Central to have a better offensive output. But I think they got a fighting chance to not only beat Whiteland, but win in the semifinals and get themselves to the title game, because the heavy favorites in the sectional are on the bottom half of the bracket. Milan, underdog in their sectional, taking on North Decatur on the road. 4-18 are the Lady Indians. North Decatur 16-6. Winner will go to the title game. It was a 50-36 game on January 18th. Emma Voss had a game-high 17 for Milan, Anna Herzog with 8. North Decatur had 3 in double figures. Rebounding margin went to North Decatur, 31-24. Turnovers were pretty even. North Decatur connecting on 13 of 18 from the free throw line. Milan 6 of 8, so a 7-point discrepancy from the free throw line. And the field goal percentage is 37 for North Decatur, 31 for Milan. Just to give you a little insight on that game and how North Decatur won it. But I think Milan was pretty competitive in that game. They keep North Decatur off the free throw line. Could be a single-digit game there, and they give themselves a fighting chance to win. In that same sectional, Switzerland County 12-11 taking on 6-17 Hauser. Switz won 55-32 earlier in the season. Courtney Higgins had 20. She could certainly do that again, but if you game plan to take her out of the game, Hallie Archer, Bree Stowe among the candidates that could just go bonkers on the offensive end. So I look for Switz to take control of that game and move on to play South Ripley, who is the favorite because they won the championship last year. So defending champs always get favored the next season. Plus, they have a good team, and they're going to have time to rest up and be feeling, I'd say, pretty froggy coming up on a Friday night when the semifinals come around. For Rising Sun, they'll be awaiting the winner of Shaw and Crothersville. They just played Shaw last week and won 46-40. Shaw should be a big favorite to defeat Crothersville in the first round. I will say it's tough to beat a team twice in a row like that. I remember back to my sophomore year at Lawrenceburg, played Milan the very last game of the season. We were 2A at the time. We beat Milan, and then we had to go to Milan and play them in the first round of sectional. I remember that game very vividly because we did not play very well. Milan did. Rex Parker, he was a dude. He went off on us that night, and we lost. So hopefully it doesn't happen to Rising Sun. They got a good team, and they certainly have their eyes on winning a sectional championship for the first time in a long time. So we'll see how it shakes out for the Lady Shiners. And then not much time else to talk about this one, but Jacksonville and Oldenburg, they'd look to be on a collision course in their 1A sectional, both ranked in the top 15. And with that, we'll just say we hope that you get a chance to get out to sectional games this week. If not, we are going to be broadcasting the South Dearborn-Batesville game tomorrow, 7 o'clock, tip-off time, and then Lawrenceburg and Rushville tipping at 7:30 on Wednesday. Both of those games presented by Ivy Tech Community College, ivytech.edu. Let's talk a little wrestling to round out the show. This evening, South Dearborn and Jennings County played host to two sectionals here in southeastern Indiana. South Dearborn, East Central coming away as the team champion. 222 points, finished just ahead of Franklin County and Milan, who tied for second with 215 points. Rushville and Batesville rounded out the top five schools out of 10 that competed there. Switzerland County, they were fourth overall at the Jennings County Sectional. Five Pacers qualifying for the regional round. And the top four placers from each weight class move on to the regional. So at South Dearborn, we're going to go through this whole sectional. At 106, it was Briggs Tackett winning from Rushville. Bryce Bruns from Franklin County was the runner-up. Caden Beagle from Greensburg and Colton Harris also advancing to the regional. Tackett won the championship match by a decision 7-0. At 113, Matthew Baylor stays undefeated from Milan, defeating Blake Hunt out of Rushville in the championship match by fall. Roger Zerbong and Kane Hopkins from Franklin County and South Dearborn advancing to the regional. At 120, Cole Freeze out of Franklin County defeats Jackson Carr from East Central by match forfeit, but those two will go on to the regional. Adam Brewer from Batesville, Lucas Richard from Milan, third and fourth place. At 126, Colin Troyer, another winner from Franklin County, defeating Tommy Poole of Milan by fall in just 38 seconds. Impressive from Troyer. Liam Hubbart and Braden Proctor from South Dearborn and East Central finishing third and fourth to advance. At 132, Jesus Aquino Morales from Union County, a winner over Brogan Rollman of East Central by fall. Kyle Bolzer and Landon Shepard of Franklin County and Greensburg advancing. 138, Landon Walton from South Dearborn, the winner in the championship match over Brady Merck of East Central, a decision 7-4. Carson Whitley and Pacey Dye of Union County and Rushville advancing on. Iden Yusen from East Central, the winner over Kane Budd of Milan in the 144 championship by fall. Trevor Bruns of Franklin County and Ben Heath of Lawrenceburg advancing on to the regional. Braden Tudor from Lawrenceburg, the 150-pound winner, defeating Logan Schott in the championship decision 8-5. Dakota Schwab and Jaden Disbro, Franklin County and Milan being represented there, moving on to the regional. Caleb Wilburn, who's had a great season at 40-2 for Milan, defeats Brody Wingate of East Central in the championship of the 157 weight class, wins by fall. David Meyer and Denver Campbell of Batesville and Rushville moving on. Damian Dance, undefeated for Batesville. He wins the 165 weight class, defeating Jackson Prater of East Central by fall. Caden McClellan of Milan and Braxton York of Lawrenceburg, third and fourth, going to the regional. Sam Pavey of Rushville, the winner at 175, defeating Travis Riley out of East Central, 5-0. Decision, Cameron Gilb and Drake Rohrbacher from Milan and Lawrenceburg on to the next event at the regional. At 190, Breck Bowman of Franklin County defeating Brendan Coulter in the championship match. Carson Betts and Colt Hensley from Milan and South Dearborn moving on to the regional. Braden Rouse, 33-2 this season. He defeats Andrew Jones by fall, 47 seconds in the 215 weight class. Zane Richardson of Milan and Kellyan Abden of Lawrenceburg moving on to the regional. And in the heavyweight division at 285, Max Amberger of Batesville, 36-1, defeating Levi DeGroat of Connersville by fall. Kyle Gotts and Nathan Noble from Milan and Franklin County on to the regional. And the four from Switzerland County moving on: Ethan Rose at 106, Dakota Fields at 120, Peyton Richards at 126, Ethan Jones at 138, and Gabe Rose at 144. Peyton Richards was the champion at 126 at the Jennings County sectional. So congratulations to all of our area wrestlers that have moved on to the regional round. Big congrats to EC on winning the team title, and be looking forward to seeing the regional results after this weekend. You go to the IHSAA website, ihsaa.org, to learn more information about the upcoming regional. And you should be able to see the brackets by now, I would think, too. I haven't checked on that myself. I was just worried about getting through the sectional recap. And we have run ourselves out of time on this Monday evening. As always, lots to get to on Crunch Time. Thanks for tuning into the show each and every week. Thanks to our great sports sponsor, OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Go to their website, orthosensi.com, learn more about their services. And we will do this again next Monday. We will certainly have some girls' sectional talk. We'll be following up on the wrestling regional. Those will be a couple things that certainly pop up on the show next Monday. So thank you again for listening. This has been another edition of Crunch Time on Eagle Country 99.3 and at EagleCountryOnline.com.